Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Saints Block Party Podcast live episode coming at you. And give me 1 second. This is a mess because we're also streaming. I'm streaming this to my Twitter account for the first time. But I can also hear my Twitter account, which does not help. So this is live. Adam is finally going to watch Gladiator. No, I'm not watching Gladiator. That is not what we're sharing. Oh, post. Okay. I figured it out. This is no, not going to WrestleMania again, Mitch. Okay. Ken, if you're watching the stream, there's 11 people right now. If you're watching the stream, let me know if it's on, if it's showing up on Twitter. Please. And thank you. Sorry. So that was like a terrible opening. Okay. We're live. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We are in the 2024 year. Terrible opening, but I'm glad we all got that figured out for tonight's episode. So we have a lot to talk about Saints related, and honestly, had not as much came out today and yesterday, we probably would have waited to record a podcast, but I feel like probably did not need to wait any longer. So before we get into all that Saints related, we wanted to kind of talk to our fans, our listeners, our audience, our supporters, about what to expect with the podcast going forward. So ease all concerns. There's no major changes. The podcast is still there, but we are wanting to make this more about the community. I think we've talked about that quite a bit, but we also wanted to make it a real thing. So going forward, what our plan is going to be is that our shows that we record are, for the most part, unless something crazy changes or unless we're just really feeling like we just can't be social, are going to be live shows. So they're going to be on YouTube, they're going to be on Twitter, they're going to be anywhere else that we can find in live stream. And so what the format of it's going to be is that one of the shows is going to be just what podcast that we do, just normal podcast, still on Spotify, still on Apple, nothing changed. And then another show, this is for the off-season schedule, the other show that we do is going to be only on YouTube and for Patreons for the audio podcast version. The big thing, no, Mitch, we were not invited to training camp. The big thing, though, is that these live shows are also going to be taking place when we have guests on, whether that's covering the Saints, covering, you know, whoever. This Sunday, we have Catherine Fisher, Emmy-nominated director, directed numerous episodes of Gotham that was on Fox, coming on. And these live shows are going to be taking place when we're doing these interviews. And we are also going to open it up to our community to ask people that we have on the show questions. You do have to be a Patreon or a YouTube member. We are working on getting our YouTube memberships set up. So there's going to be multiple different type of mediums that you listen and consume this. What do you want to do? Podcast. And for us, this is about growth, right? We are very blessed to where we are of how we're doing with the audio podcast. And now we're not taking anything away from the audio. We're still going to do it. We're just actually just doing more live streams associated with it. There's actually even a function, Ryan, that I didn't realize, that we'll see how it goes. Maybe Sunday we could be like a good test, is that this is a real throwback. Way back to the first episodes of Saints Talk podcast, when we had you call in, Diana call in, asking questions about the draft. This is going to be the 2024 version of that, because in Riverside, there's a loss to be five audience members, where you can ask someone a question that we're interviewing them, either in the chat or a video, like you join the broadcast to ask your question. That you cannot get more community than that. Can't do it.
Oh yeah, that we're definitely gonna try that. So like, this is all like a, you know, it's gonna be a little experimentation. So y'all just kind of bear with us, because we just want to try some different things just to get more engagement with, you know, our listeners, and kind of spread the word about our community, about the Saints Block Party podcast. Y'all can help out with that a lot just by spreading the word, talking Saints with people. Like, hey man, I got this podcast I listen to, Saints Block Party podcast. Please. Go on YouTube, you can listen to it, you can download it, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Pie, whatever. But we really want to push this video. Since we're doing video now, we really want to push this, you know, live stream thing, and, you know, see how that goes. And, you know, we're handsome as shit.
Like, why not? Why not?
I don't know, bro. I'll be getting some hate on Twitter, bro. This dude said I look like Fizz on Love, man. I'm like, Fizz on Love? Man, I'm like, big worm? Big perm?
Big worm, big perm, big worm.
I ain't saying I'm a dog beast, but man.
You got a beautiful wife, bro. Not tripping at all. I am sure there's like a subsection of some dark corner of the world where white women see that two black men are doing video podcasts, bro, and just laser focused in, bro. Just tuned in every episode. So it's exciting. It's really exciting. We do have a couple of guests. So like I said, we have Catherine Fisher coming up on Sunday. The big thing that we know is an issue, and that's something that Ryan and I are still tweaking with, is the whole thing regarding time. So it is 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 11:15, 11:30 Central Time. It's past midnight Eastern Time. So that's just one of those things. When we're recording an episode during the week, it is just our jobs, our time zones. This is the easiest and best time for us to record. Typically, when we have guests on, we move our schedules and move heaven and earth to make it happen, because a guest ain't coming on at like 9 p.m. We don't expect them to. But I know that something to increase engagement and viewership, that's something that we're going to have to figure out. Or it isn't, and people are just going to listen to the audio version of it later. It is what it is. But it's just something we are excited about. So be on the lookout for that. So that was our announcement, that essentially every show going for the most part, unless there's some here that are, is going to be a live show. All right. We got to talk about the Saints. So we have 31 viewers on Twitter watching. We have 17 on YouTube. This was last minute. So we appreciate everyone who's on. There's a lot of Saints stuff that's come out, bro. Like I love the content, because they never give us a period where we don't have to talk about them. Whew. I don't know if we should start with Lattimore. We got to start with Ram. We got to start with the owners meetings. I don't know, Ryan. I don't know where to start.
I mean, I guess the big thing to talk about is the Ram check. I don't know. I wouldn't call it news, but just kind of an update to see where we at. Because yeah, with the draft coming on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I woke up this morning and that was like the first. Oh, you still hear my wife in the background?
No, Mark said Ram check knees was looking like Hamburger Helper, bro. Can we just quick timeout? Can we just have a moment to talk about how Hamburger Helper slapped in the day and still slaps, bro? Like,
still good, bro.
still undefeated, good. Bro.
Like sometimes, like I don't even need to get to, like the hamburger helper mix. I get some, you know, some noodles and some kind of noodles and brown meat. Put my own little spices in there.
Season, there you go,
man,
bro.
That's all I need. But when I was living by myself, like when I was single, shit, boy, that's all I eat, boy.
Salt of the earth.
Telling you, bro. But anyway, back to Ram Check Knees. So, you know, it came out today. DA was, you know, talking at the owner's meeting. And if Ryan, a couple of weeks at the combine, everything was sounding like pretty positive. It was like, oh, yeah, Ram, you know, things are looking good. You know, because he had some work done on his knee. And it's like, oh, things are looking positive. Now it's like, DA, like, I don't know, bro. The news he got the last time he talked to Ram that it wasn't looking good, it wasn't hopeful. Look like offensive line, baby. Offensive line.
Here's the thing. I before we start recording, I very quickly told Jay what happened today regarding Rams information. Her response, it verbatim was, why would you say anything about that right now?
Mm.
We are less than a month away from the first night of the NFL draft. For a team that is so, at times, they try to be so exquisite.
Right.
They like shape the narrative. And perfect example, we saw it last week with Chase Young, did we not? Okay, we gonna announce on Monday that we sign, and then Tuesday it comes out that he's having neck surgery. If you're that skillful of being able to shape the narrative, why the hell would that come out a month or less than a month away from the draft, where you are essentially telling, and I'm not saying that the league, for the most part, probably didn't think that the Saints wanted to go that way, but they now know for sure, potentially, that that's the direction you want to go in the draft. I listened to the Michael Lombardi, you know, episode. The name of the podcast episode was Lying Season at NFL Owners Meeting.
Everybody.
Lying season, right?
Everybody.
Oh, no.
Except our guy.
No. And here's the thing. There are times when you're as a coach, no matter what sport you're covering, that lying to the media is seen as like a frowned upon. I know when like the Seahawks did it last year before they traded, before they traded Russell Wilson. They lied. That's playing the game, right? There's a fine line between just like outright lying to be lying, which has happened with Kendre Miller with the Jazz game, saying that he got hurt. No, that was a lie. That was a lie. Lie, lie. But that's the part to me that just blows my mind, because not only did he say it on camera, almost minutes later, however long later, Ian Rappaport, whole article, whole tweet.
Just tell the whole league, man. We gotta go. We need offensive line. Tell the whole league. And the thing is, like, on one level, you know, I'm glad, you know, that, you know, the coach reports injuries and keeps us updated, but I'm like, damn, that's stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, shut up.
Because there ain't no reason like, to say. You didn't even tell him. You could be like, hey, look, you know, he's recovering right now, and we're going to see where he at, you know? That's it.
Sean was notorious to never.
Next question.
Ever talk about injuries. Because he didn't want to tip off to whatever the opponent, even in the offseason, just didn't want to give anything away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and then he also talked about us needing a pass rusher. Or sorry, a pass catcher.
Yeah.
There's one player, Ryan, that might be there at 14 that would fit that bill of that DA was describing today. One player. It's not going to be Malik Nabers. It's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not going to be Roma Dunze. But there's a tight end in Georgia that, because he's a tight end and because the NFL maybe doesn't value tight ends that highly, I still don't think he gets past the Jets. Don't think he does. But let's say he gets past 12. If you have the Colts in behind you and you know potentially they want a tight end, why would you say anything that would prompt them to trade ahead of you if Brock Bowers were to fall to 13? Why?
He just is who he is, bro. You know, like, I don't even know where to go with it, bro. Like, he just is who he is, man. Like, and for him, probably from his perspective, he's like, hey, man, I'm just keeping it honest.
Yeah, Demon Time Slime said he specifically said a pass catcher who isn't a route receiver.
He did. He talked about the tight end position for a little while. Talked about how important the tight end position is to offensive football. And he tried to cover it like, well, it's not so much about this game, but it's just about offensive football, how important the tight end position is and this and that. I'm like, bro, shut up, bro.
Shut up! Stop talking! Please! But getting back to Ram, I hate that if this is the end of his career, that it's happened like this.
Oh yeah.
Because this, as much as an O-line pick would not be a sexy pick, and I have my thoughts about it, Ram was the epitome of getting a sweater for Christmas and then realizing that was the most comfortable, softest sweater, just like the material was right. You're like, this should look good in this. Like, that's what he was as a player. Where I remember that 2017 draft, man. Ryan Ramczyk, Wisconsin.
Brother, I mean, Twitter was on fire. Like, come on, man.
That man went on to be an all-pro right tackle, had a span of his career where he was the best right tackle in all of football. And it's just, you know, sad to see potentially like his career. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But our former Saints wide receiver, which still feels weird to say, Michael Thomas, on Twitter, kind of saying, the script sound the same. Bro, this man went and got a quote from DA when he was talking about him and my dog.
Yeah, receipts.
My dog. Wayne, we all wanted Ruben, bro. We all wanted Ruben. Every single one of us. And you don't know how long for about a year I was getting mocked by Jay because Ruben Foster hung up on the Saints.
And the
Niners traded up and drafted Ruben Foster. And it was just a little thing she would just do for like a year, just poking. And then fast forward, like after that first season, like it was clear who won that trade.
We good over here.
then I would bring it up, and then it wasn't as funny. But then the question becomes, and I go back to this. If Ram is not going to play all of next season, potentially, and we don't know, is the talent on the roster offensive line-wise good enough to be decent? Not good, decent. Now the team has kind of given us an indication that they don't feel like it is. I still don't know in a vacuum how that could be the assessment when there's players in the line that haven't had an opportunity to play. Like I think he said, Dennis Allen said today that he doesn't know what they have in Saldivarte. This man was on the team for a whole season. I didn't know what you have in a player.
Well, no, bro. No idea. No idea.
I can understand him not even, but you are seeing him play practice every day in practice. You telling me that you don't know? That's Ryan. That's the stuff that just like it just boggles my brain.
Boggles my brain, bro. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I mean, because you take Ramczyk out the equation, Pete's still out there, and they haven't brought him back. I haven't heard anything about them potentially bringing him back or anything. So, I mean, I think it's safe to assume.
Does Pete want to be back?
Does he want to come back? Like, I don't know. You know, and they carried a dead money. You would think if they were going to bring him back, they would have tried to work out something beforehand to, you know, spread out some of that dead money or whatever. But they didn't. So, I mean, O-line is a need. It is a need, bro. The question is, how much do you want to invest in it?
There it is. That's my point I think I'm asking.
And basically, you just add more questions to the equation, because right now it's just a lot of question marks. Big question mark with Penny. Question mark with Nick Saldivari. Then you got young guys like Landon Young.
I know he's hurt, bro, but I like some Landon. He racist and MAGA as hell, but I think that's the thing where I'm not trying to overblow those two games, but, and I get the Giants defensive line maybe not been great, but just seeing him play well against, and seeing him play well against Kayvon Thibodeau, like, was really eye opening to me, right? But he's hurt. Let me catch up some things with the chat real quick. Yes, Sean did have Rube on the phone. Wayne said it's like getting that one fly card again that Shannon Sharpe had. Yeah, that was Ram Check. You like, ooh, is this velvet? This bitch is not. This is all. This fits. Shit, like, can we? Let's see. Not Hawaiian Mitch. Other Mitch said Derek Carr's gonna make them look like first team all McDonald's.
Oh man,
and that's something that's I tweeted, man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something we've been talking about it in the Discord is how, you know, how much a quarterback affects offensive line play. So huge, bro. Like, it's no coincidence that as soon as Drew Brees left, all of a sudden the offensive line just looked trash. Just looked trash. Just all of a sudden, it's like, what happened there? It's just the change in offensive line play. You know what I'm saying? Just that quickly.
Great point. Let's keep it just recently this past season. The Chiefs offensive line, Donovan Smith, can't even name you their left guard, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, and Jawan Taylor. It's also kind of sickening that I know almost their whole offensive line.
Very sick.
Yes. Jawan Taylor was the worst right tackle in all of football. Awful. Donovan Smith was pretty decent with the Bucs and won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Has been a decent left tackle, but in this stage in his career, he's okay. He's fine. Trey Smith. God damn, that's really sickening. The Chiefs invested resources in Creed Humphrey. They drafted Trey Smith in the fifth round. They signed Joe Tooney to a large free agency deal. Had previously traded for Orlando Brown from the Ravens. They did moves to solidify their offensive line when it was an issue when the Chiefs played the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Now Mahomes is to a point in his career where would you want great talent, more talent on the offensive line, especially right tackle and left tackle for Mahomes? More than likely, yes, but he makes that line look a lot better than what it actually is, especially in the passing game. Now, run game, Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney and Trey Smith are dogs. Like, they are dogs in the run game.
And that's the key for the Saints is they really need to get a lot better in the run game. And I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if that's a talent issue. I don't know if that's a coaching issue. I don't know if that's a scheme issue. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be up to them to kind of figure that out. But I think the Saints really think it's a player thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a talent issue. That's how they view it.
Who brings the talent on the team, Ryan?
Make it make sense. Because it's not without trying. It's not like people. I keep people saying like, "Oh, they need to invest in the trenches, invest in the offensive line." I'm like, have you seen the drafts? That's all they do: invest in offensive line and defensive line. That's all they do. And that's the approach they take.
they've invested so much in offensive line, so much in defensive line, and they have little to nothing to show for. That is a big reason why this team is where it is. Because if you hit on either side of the ball, even if Peyton Turner was, throw a pass rusher out. If Peyton Turner was George Kalafkis, and if Trevor Penning was, what's the Taylor Lewan, right? Even if you missed on those other draft picks, just the identity of the defensive line and offensive line looks completely different.
Completely different.
Changes the makeup of the team.
But, you know, I mean, just because you missed don't mean you don't keep trying, but you also have to go back and look at what was the issue. Like, was it misscouting? Again, was it coaching? Are they being put in position to succeed? You know, like, you got to answer them questions before you go back to the well. You know what I'm saying? Are you just putting the next player back in that hole?
You brought that up when we were doing the mock draft. I'm trying to find out. No, not him. What was the player that the Titans drafted that
that just like quit?
Yes.
What was his name?
I'm trying to find. No, not Taylor Roman. Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
Sure. Isaiah Wilson. I need to look this up. I want to say he had more starts, and he did not want to play football.
Then Trevor Penning.
Let me say, I got to look it up to be sure. I don't want to just be saying shit on here to be saying stuff. Signed a contract, blah, 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 activated from COVID. So, yeah, so he essentially played from his rookie season. He got suspended for week 13. So he played, he finished season. Okay, I lied. Complete lie. He literally played one game for the Titans. He finished the season playing in one game, appearing for one. Why am I looking at this? I can't. He finished the season playing one game, appearing for one snap in the third round or in the third quarter of the Titans' week 12.
That boy was big scheming, bro. He just.
That's crazy, bro.
That man got his contract and said, deuces, I'm done.
I refuse to believe that. Sticking on the thing with Ram, we got 27 concurrent viewers for the stream and YouTube, 137 views on Twitter. This is where I go back to when we talked about this, when we were talking about Chase Young. I don't know how, as like Saints media was trying to tell fans like, no, it's not that bad of a neck surgery. It's not that bad of a neck surgery. Literally, Ram has a knee issue, and it's a chronic knee issue. And I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm saying the knee's not important. A knee is not a neck. A knee is not a neck. This man had surgery on his knee and maybe cannot play the entire upcoming season. Can we please? This is a prime example of why we can't take the surgeries that players get, that they're just automatically just going to be okay. You cannot ever know.
I mean,
can't do it.
Has anyone watched Dr. Death? I mean, people were dying on the freaking operating table doing little neck surgeries just like Chase Young getting. You know what I'm saying?
Man, don't put that out there in the podcast, right? Goddamn!
I'm just saying they were being killed by the doctor, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, that's true.
But, you know, hopefully our people at Arsenal are a little better than that. But
that's not a cut up I want to make, Ryan. It's not, right? Like, walk it back. Hey. catching up with the chat. Jashawn said, not going to lie, the Saints need to sign a solid backup right tackle. Yes. D Demon Slam going on 10 years of drafting into the trenches with nothing to show for it. I'd rather them just draft skill position players and pay mid-tier linemen.
I get it. I get it.
I 100% get it. Saints need help in the I'm going to need the pronunciation guide again. Saints needs to help the trenches all together because Cam also had an ankle surgery too, and he is 34, 35 years old.
Yeah, man. Dude, he was playing with a high and low ankle sprain. Damn.
Mark with a C says Saints first round picks just to be there to collect checks, except for Olave. And people want to trade Chris Olave! Yeah, bro. We done drafted Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner, Trevor Penning in the first round. I can't, bro. Anyway, Dante said Delvin Bro has entered the chat talking about the next thing.
Bruh.
I'm just saying, bro. Like, you can't just... This is serious, bro. This is serious stuff. Let's talk about some good news. Do you want to talk about some good news? Reports are out there potentially that the Saints and Lattimore may not be headed towards a divorce.
Yeah, man.
I said it when I think we were talking to Patrick or maybe a podcast after that. Them not trading Lattimore would be their biggest win of this offseason.
Yeah.
And I meant it. I meant this. Sincerely. Now, I can give some insight, and I always be careful how I kind of parse things. If you're in the Discord, you kind of already maybe saw it a couple of days ago. But I've said on this podcast before, the Saints won a first. Won a first for Marshawn Lattimore. They're going to trade him. The trade market is very compressed. Teams around the league do not want to give up high draft picks. Don't want to give them up. So if you're posed with wanting a first for a player, and I'm a little hesitant to give them credit for them not settling for a second or settling for like what the Chiefs got for Snead. If they're holding firm and they're not going to, and they don't trade him, or even if they do trade him and they trade him later, whether that be closer to training camp, if a corner goes down for another team and you maybe can get a 2025 first or what have you, I want to prematurely applaud it because him being on the team.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It maybe doesn't change things hugely, but at least defensive-wise, it helps a lot.
No question. No question. It helps a ton, man. Like, especially considering where we are with the defensive line, when you want, hopefully, to bring in, another young player, too. You got Chase Young coming on, hopefully, and all that. Just having lockdown coverage will only help, bro. You know, just, you don't come across corners like Lattimore often, bro. They're hard to find.
We
know what we went through.
We should know. We were looking.
Looking for the longest, bro. Like, so, if they do, like you said, if they do make a move at some point, hopefully they just stand firm. Don't just throw the guy out. Don't put a Chauncey Gardner Johnson where you just want to get rid of him. You know, just whatever offer you can get, just get rid of him. Don't do that. Don't do
Please.
That. Please, man. But let's just hope. I hope that remains true. I think Isaac Yiadom, getting going with the 49ers, I think that kind of helped Lattimore's case a little bit. Because, that's
That Thanos.
Right. I mean, because you do, then you take Lattimore out of the equation, then that what was a strength. That secondary, you know, for years, has been a strength. Like, well, at least they got that secondary. That is not really a strength anymore once you take Lattimore out of the equation and, you know, you got depth issues and all that stuff. Now you're depending on Adebo and Alante Taylor, who, you know, Alante is still.
You're hoping that Alante would have a bounce back season.
Right, exactly. Hoping, you know what I'm saying? And you're hoping with Adebo, you know, who I think has shown a lot so far, but you still kind of like, okay, I'll just show me just a little more. That
difficulty went from rookie to all pro, right. And it looked a little different.
Exactly. I used to play Mortal Kombat. I put it on a difficult mode. I'm tearing my ass up, and I'm like, damn.
Because I believe, and I might be wrong, but had they before they signed it, Sub-Zero, the nickelback they brought back, who I'm not thinking of his name right now.
Hugo Amadi.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. That before he was re-signed, there and after Yadam left, there were three cornerbacks on the team. Marshawn, Adebo, Alante. You telling me that you like they were probably like, ooh.
Let's just cool down a little bit. But it still sounds like DA, I don't know, man, just the way DA talk about Sean, still sound like he just, I don't know, like he butthurt or something, man. Like, get over yourself, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, get over yourself. Like, head coaches, regardless of the sport, head coaches, especially in pro sports, man, you have to manage personalities. Gotta manage them.
Got it. If you're watching this on the live stream on YouTube, let me see if it's on Twitter. Just because we're talking offensive line, and now we're doing live shows, so we're going to try to do some more interactive things. And I have the Saints draft trends up for offensive line since 2006. Now, one, it might be difficult for y'all to see that, so let me try to make that a little bigger. There we go. So, I want to just be clear. That should make like a line, right? So, Jeff Ireland comes on board essentially right here, right? Andres Pete.
Yeah.
Okay. These four right here, Ryan. Those four. That's where the line is. That's a big reason of where the line is where it is. I mean, Penning's a red. We don't know what Penning is. Don't know what he is. Saliverde? Don't know what he is.
No idea.
Now, historically, if you look, the Saints have been good at drafting offensive linemen. And I know people are going to, Pete should be yellow. Man, Pete's been in the league since 2015, bro.
No way. No
Pete's
way.
He's great, bro.
If y'all know us, we've had plenty of jokes about Pete, but he is absolutely a green.
Green. So, historically, the Saints have been good at drafting offensive linemen. My question, I don't think we really know the answer to it. Maybe, when did Mickey Loomis start taking over the draft room?
It's a good question.
Because it probably would have been right here.
Oh.
Well, no. It would have been the Davenport draft. No, not Davenport. Peyton Turner draft the year before. Yeah. Right. That is also Peyton Turner, also a red, should I say. So we're just talking about offensive line, we're talking about defensive line, right? Look, it's draft season. Like, this is my juices get going a little bit. Someone made a funny comment that I wanted to. No cap, no filter. Saints said at least Cordero Patterson is out the NFC South. Good riddance. He was a pain in the ass. No Diddy. Bruh.
The Saints should have signed Cordell Cousins, man. Shit.
Man, bro, I wanted them to sign him because he would bring the offense juice. Juice, bro.
Straight up.
Now, we don't flip it over. Now we looking at defensive tackles that they dropped.
Ugh. Ugh. Gross, bro.
And gross. The ones you have hit on, the big one you hit on, is no longer a Saint. Trey Hendrickson. Man, I think he didn't had an All-Pro season and maybe like a second team All-Pro since he's left the Saints, right?
They've been feeling their scouting and self-scouting.
Bruh.
How that
hey, work? What you can't... That combined with the fact that the coaching, the brain drain that's happened coaching-wise, that's why the Saints are where they are, bro. Like, you can only overcome so much.
I overcome so much, man.
But something I do like to point out. Talking about receivers, not so much tight ends because the Saints really haven't drafted tight ends. But wide receivers, is that when they draft wide receivers, bro, and maybe this was some like Sean Payton system a little bit too, but when they draft wide receivers, they usually hit.
Usually hit, bro. And I'm so interested to see how that plays out going forward with the, you know, the brain drain you talked about, you know, because no one's left from that old system, you know. Now it's, you know, a completely new staff as far as coaching.
Completely,
you know,
bro.
I mean, the scouts are still there, but, you know, but you did have that one major, you know, scouting director that did leave. So I just wonder if that continues, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be interesting. But they've been good drafting wide receivers, man. No question about it.
And then we just bringing up, just talking about Marshawn Lattimore, about how hard it is to draft a corner, how hard it is to find a corner. So this is secondary players all combined. Look how much red there was. Some are safeties, to be fair, but just trying to find a corner. It's hard.
But I mean, it you could just see the difference. When Ireland took over, bro, you can
right
see
here, about six. This is all Jeff Ireland, right? Yeah. Here. Woo, that's a lot. Those some hits, bro.
I mean, you look at it, PJ Williams, even PJ Williams, you
Green.
Know,
PJ's a Green.
Played IDC, a lot in this league.
IDC.
Played a lot in this league. Von Bell was a, you know, starter for years. Played on the Super Bowl for the Bengals. Marcus Williams.
Still probably a starter for the – he went back to the Bengals. Yeah, he, you know, was starter last year for Carolina.
Yeah, Marcus Williams, you know, a Pro Bowl level safety that got paid big money. Marshawn Lattimore, you know, defensive rookie of the year, all pro. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you know, still in his league getting paid, making plays. Paulson of the Debo's looking like a, you know, like a number one-ish corner. Alante Taylor, you know, he's yellow right now, but, you know, he's shown promise playing on the outside. Jordan Howden, young, we still got to see, but he's shown promise as a safety.
Yes. And I probably jumped the gun on Jordan Howden, but I was being a little generous.
Just being a little generous. It's fine.
I was. But, like, this, if you just looking at this, from 2020 to 2023, Ryan.
Oof.
One, two. And how did an AT Perry or being generous? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 greens. If you take them out of the equation, they have drafted 3 green, aka blue chip players, since 2020. Maurice is a starter. He's average. He's average.
Yeah.
Average. He's not a green. He's not a green. Wayne. Wayne said he needs a column for the years. This has been, I've worked on this a lot. A column for the years are probably better. I'm probably not going to change it. It's just kind of my own personal thing. But yes, mm-hmm. I understand why the years would be helpful. That's bad, bro. That is bad.
Yeah.
I don't care what Jeff Duncan wants to say. Oh, but don't, you're forgetting about Shaheen. You're forgetting about Sewell, like just throwing out like players like this. Like you're forgetting. No, like those players are not. This is the makeup of the team.
Yeah. But I will say this. If Foskey and Miller and Saldivari, if like two of those three guys
yes.
can be something, you know, then you got a nice little core. You know what I'm saying? You got a little nice little core you can work with there, especially if you include Chris Olave, you know, Alante Taylor, say he continues to progress. Then you got a nice little a nice little core there. You know what I'm saying? So I want to give it some time because especially with Foskey, it's like, bro, like we saw that little workout video. That little workout video.
Bro, Dante said he was not moved. He said he was like, him out there, bro.
Look at that feet work. I'm like, man, I don't know, bro. Like,
the Rook 10 said Granderson and Shaheed. Listen, two things. One, yes, they have hit on some undrafted free agents. Mm-hmm. The person that was finding those undrafted free agents is now with the Denver Broncos. Two, you cannot go into each draft thinking that you're going to hit on undrafted free agents every time. It is an unrealistic expectation. I think as Saints fans, because of the undrafted free agents we've hit on in the past, it's kind of clouded the judgment of like what the expectation of what a UDFA actually should be and is. But also the person that was finding those players is no longer with the Saints. Let's see. Ireland and Co. are great at scouting. I blame the person pulling the trigger in the draft room. Demon Time Slime said that. I'm not want to sit here and act like Jeff Ireland does not have any fault in if we're doing like a blame pie. But I do think, and I said this in our Discord, I do think Jeff Ireland's being scapegoated. I also think that's why they brought in Dave Ziegler. They're like, it's being sewed up. Mitch said Miller showed spurts at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Mark with the C said, I still believe in Miller. The few snaps he did play last year, you saw something. You absolutely did. You absolutely did. Can he stay healthy?
That's it. That's the question.
Can he stay healthy? That's it. Because if he can, then he could quickly become a green and become a really nice 1-2 punch with him and AK. If he can't, then, I mean, he'll either stay a yellow or become a red. Rod said, banking on a UDFA is like having a scratch off for a retirement plan. Ooh, that's a analogy right there, bro.
It is. It is.
It really is. Demon Time said, David Ziegler's draft classes are horrible. I don't want to put too much in the Ziegler thing. I just think it's nice that there's another voice in the room that potentially, hopefully, is not like a yes man. And the David Ziegler thing is interesting because he was the GM that wanted to get rid of Derek Carr.
Yeah, it's just man.
A fascinating juxtaposition that Derek. I don't know if there's a quarterback that might slip, if it's Penix. I don't know. But just seeing him having that mental picture, just whispering in Mickey's ear, like, yo, this Carr dude. Trash, bro. Like you got shit. Like maybe Dave Ziegler might be the savior for the Saints' future that man. We needed, and we never knew it, bro. I don't know.
Hey, bro. Not always the hero you want, man. But I also something that was interesting. Mickey Loomis, he talked at the owners' meeting. He did confirm. He did, yeah, and he really did confirm that they tightened up the cap, man. Like they have like a pretty much a 2-year plan of trying to get that cap cleaned up, so they're not going to be doing a lot of big spending. So like that's the focus right now, which you know makes sense. We kind of figured that just looking how this free agency went. He did say, you know, that could change. Sounded like it depends. Like just say all of a sudden the team was good this year, for whatever reason. It's like, damn, this team is actually good. Made the playoffs and stuff. They might get back in that aggressive mode. You know what I'm saying? start charging a credit card or whatever. But for now, it sounds like, yeah, they just, the plan is just to kind of make it enough. You know what I'm saying? Where that directive's coming from? Is it coming from Gail? Is it just something they're planning on doing? Because he talked about how the, you know, the pandemic kind of threw off the cap a little bit, and they're still kind of working through that, which is understandable. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And I just, my whole thing is just like, why now? You know what I'm saying? And then somebody brought it up in the Discord. It was a good question. It's like, you know, is DA just kind of like a, are they looking at him kind of like a guy to ride through the tough times with? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's not what I get from him, because I think not Loomis, I think Loomis really think DA that dude.
That dude.
In his heart of hearts, maybe not, but he will go down fighting.
Oh, absolutely. And here's, it's funny you bring up cleaning up the, what I always think about is like the last two seasons with the Vikings. Not so much the year they went to the playoffs and they lost to the Giants, but the year after, last offseason, what did the Vikings do? You saw a mass exodus of players.
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, just Dalvin Cook, Eric Kendricks, and some of those players, you know, Adam Thielen, some of those players was, you know, a little past, whatever, but you saw a mass exodus of players. And what the Vikings have been able to do, and they didn't make the playoffs this year, but I pretty much probably contend that if Kirk Cousins doesn't get hurt, they more than likely probably make the playoffs this past season. They were able to clean up the cap and their cap situation by still being, but at the same time, still being competitive and still being good. That's because of coaching. That's because of hitting on draft picks. Jordan Addison. They drafted Jordan Addison in the first round last year. Jordan Addison looks like a stud wide receiver. That's how you're able to do that. And it feels like the Saints are like the inverse of that, right? Well, now they're, which I applaud them for trying to clean up the cap situation, because I think at some point it had to be done. But are they going to be able to clean up the cap and still be able to put a team on the field on Sundays that can be competitive and that potentially can contend to get into the playoffs? That is the question that's yet to be seen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so much is hinging on this, because it kind of reminds me of trying to 2017, going into 2017.
I was about to say that.
Because it's like, nobody really knew what to feel. We just came off three back-to-back 7-9 seasons. Sean Payton didn't know if he was kind of like wishy-washy. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Rumors of him leaving. Didn't really know how to feel going into 2017. I don't remember them, you know, like paying a big money free agent that offseason. Like, they brought in Adrian Peterson and.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But
that feels like forever ago.
Forever ago. And then they had the 2017 draft. You know, when the draft happened, okay, yeah, we got Marshawn Lattimore, but we didn't really know how good that draft would be. And all of a sudden, you know, after week two, team started
cooking.
Hashtag
fire Sean Payton.
Team started cooking. It's like, okay, we got something here. Next thing you know, you got this really good young core to build around, breathe new life into Drew Brees, who we thought was on his way out, and it just completely changed the whole tenure of the Saints. And you had like a whole nother run with the Saints, even though, you know, we never made a Super Bowl again. We were right there. So things could change, like, especially with a really good draft class. If they could really knock this draft class out the park and get some of the – turn a lot of those reds you had and yellows into greens, that could really change the trajectory of where the Saints go.
Huge. Huge.
Huge.
It's a huge draft class. It's a huge upcoming draft. That's why if you are in Louisiana, if you're in the Gulf South, please, if you are a Patreon, make sure you RSVP and come to the draft party that is on April 25th, less than a month away. We also, if you're not a Patreon, but if you're more of the YouTuber kind, we are planning on getting memberships for for YouTube specifically out there. And we'll kind of go over the perks and those. We got to figure that out, but pretty similar to the Patreon perks. But thank y'all. We wanted just to recap all of this and get it out there. We got up to like 33 concurrent viewers in YouTube, and then on the old Twitter, we got up to close to like 170 views. Not bad. I'm glad I figured that out right before we start recording. What does it mean anything? I don't know. But we got the views. But thank y'all for tuning in. We will be back on Sunday chatting with the Emmy-nominated director, Catherine Fisher, who is a diehard Saints fan. She's a big fan of the podcast. It's going to be very exciting to have her on. Talk about Saints, talk about New Orleans, talk about entertainment business. So make sure you tune into that. We will be back on Sunday. Take care of yourselves. Thank y'all for the support. As always, like and subscribe on YouTube, on podcast format or mediums, anything, everything to just show support. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back on Sunday. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.